Amen. Thank you. All right. Let's look at open to John 15. Last week, I just started sharing a couple things about some things that have been on my heart since the beginning of this year. And I had shared that a particular word kept coming to me since the beginning of the year this year. And of course, then it would pop up all over, you know, when that's happening to you, it seems like it pops up here and it pops up there and it pops up or something similar pops up and something synonymous to that word comes. And it just seems like it's surfacing constantly. And the word that came to me at the beginning of the year, and plus I'm reading a book called My One Word, and the premise of the book is to find, instead of focusing so much on New Year's resolutions and things like that, you let God show you something, a word for the year, and then you allow that word to help you see what kind of person you need to be that year. So the word that has come to me from the beginning of this year is the word connect. And so, of course, I'm seeing that everywhere. And of course, the thing that I see in that is the very first place. You know, when we think of connecting, we think of all these things that are thrown at us constantly by social media for the purpose of connecting with people. But I feel like first and foremost, it has to be our connecting with God. Yeah. We have to learn to connect with God. And, you know, if you've been listening or heard any of the prophetic things that have been being spoken by different well-known people that are on the national scene, some very interesting things are going to start happening this year. And we need to be connected with God so that fear doesn't come on us. Because if we look at these things, you know, it says in the last days, men's hearts will fail them for fear. And we don't want that to be our testimony. We want to be secure and know, look, this is all part of God's plan. This is all part of the timetable of God. And when you see these things come, if you're connected with Him and if you're hearing from Him on a regular basis, there'll be peace because you know you're fitting in. You're right in the right place at the right time. I just marvel. I was talking with a friend of mine on the phone last week and I just said, how marvelous to be here at the close of the age. What a privilege to be part of this end time army, to be one that God entrusted with the last day's message. And so it's a wonderful thing, but we have to be connected with God. And that's what John chapter 15 is talking about here. John 15 chapter 15 verse 1 says, I am the vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so shall you be my disciples. And so last week we looked a little bit at this a little bit more in depth. This week we'll touch on it a little and then look at a few other things. But Jesus is describing here a life of connectedness with him, primarily in the area of prayer. But I believe that the principles that he talks about here are meant to produce fruit in all areas of our lives. Whether it's, you know, this is primarily a healing class. And so learning to abide in him and connect with him at that heart level is important if we're ever going to walk in our healing. There's some people that have been standing for healing. Well, so often what we do is we think, if I just confess the word more, if I just do more of all these things I've been doing, and if I just get more committed to it, and if I could just do it harder and better and trim away all the fat and just focus so much on just the things that are really, really important, then the focus there is on us. It isn't what we're doing. It's what's God doing. It's abiding in him, and it's getting his what he has to say about our situation. And there, it's dangerous because we hear sometimes wonderful testimonies and we think, well, if I just did that, I'll do what so-and-so did and I'll get the same results. Well, no, you won't. Not necessarily. We have to abide in him so his words can abide in us. And that's not just talking about his written word. That's talking about the words he's speaking. And when it talks about the word abiding in us, you know, in Colossians, it also says, let the word of God dwell in you richly. That's talking about the word of God being at home in our lives. You know, is God's word at home in our life? Have you ever been in anybody's home where you didn't feel at home? You didn't feel like you were welcome. You felt like you were kind of like out of place there. You know, we don't want God's word to be like that. We don't want God's word to feel unwelcome or out of place in our lives. We want God's word to feel at home in our lives. How can God's word be at home in our lives? When we obey him. First of all, we obey him. We just do what he says to do. We don't try to reason it out. You know, our reasoning will never match up to the wisdom of God. Never. It'll never even come close. Well, you know, if I just did this and if I just do this, then it'll work. No, we need to just do what God says to do. Amen. Just do what he says to do, because he's got a wisdom so far superior to us. So the goal here, the goal of abiding, is to connect with God in a way that causes fruit to come in our lives. Because Jesus says here, which I think is just a profound statement, in verse 5, he says, the one who abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. And then he says some really profound words, for without me you can do nothing. So there isn't anything we can do without abiding in him and having his words abiding in us. There's nothing we can do. We can't prosper. Now, we may make a good go at it. We can't be healed. We can't have a blessed marriage. We can't, life is not going to be blessed and good without abiding in him and having his words abiding in us. I mean, we may try, you know, there's people in the world that don't do this, and they're very disciplined, and they experience a certain degree of success. But we're talking about fruit that has produced because of our connection with God. That's what gives God glory, because it's fruit that comes because we depend on him. We're not depending on our ability to manage everything in our lives super well. So Jesus here is just describing this wonderful life of connectedness with him and the fruit and much fruit that will result in it. So we have to ask ourselves, are we abiding? Again, the word abiding, talk about living someplace. Where are you living? Where are you spending your time? Where are you focused? Where's your focus in life? Because that's what we're talking about. We talk about being connected. When you're struggling with something, when you're hurting, or when you're fearful or anxious or something's bothering you, where do you go? You know, sometimes people, they'll escape to the movies. Other people will go to Facebook and post everything that's bothering them. You know, and Facebook's a wonderful tool. It's a wonderful tool, but I think it's a counterfeit. It can be a counterfeit for true connection. Because all you do is you're talking at people. You're talking. Now, you just vented. You just aired all your stuff. You know, you're fine. You're great because you just aired. But, you know, do we ever stop and sit down with people face to face, eye to eye, and say, how are you doing? You know, I'm telling everybody how I'm doing, but how are you doing? Because isn't that what relationships are? They're two-way. So there is a danger, a potential danger. They're as wonderful as they are to get people reconnected and, you know, bringing back, maybe connecting with somebody that you haven't talked to in a long time. A friend, Susie Smith, and I got reconnected on Facebook back several years ago, and I'm so happy for that. And that'll happen occasionally with different people. Sometimes it's with people that you're not so happy to hear from, but in most cases, it's people that you really care about and you're really happy to hear from them. But there's a danger of that being a counterfeit. Why? Because God wants us to come to him first. He doesn't want us to go to Facebook and tell everybody what a bad day we're having. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to come to him. He wants us to connect our hearts with him and let him be our source of comfort and affirmation and encouragement. You know, if anything, Facebook should be a place where we encourage other people, not looking for us to be encouraged and affirmed and comforted, but a place for us. Isn't that what relationships are for? It should be a giving thing, not a taking thing. But we should go to God first. We should always go to God first. When we're afraid, go to God. Go to him. He knows what's going on. He knows what's behind what's causing that fear. If you need comfort, God knows exactly the words to speak to you. You know, people can speak things that might come so far, but nothing compares to what God says. You know, I've been in places in my life where God has spoken one word to me that made all the difference in the world. Because his wisdom and his care for us, his love, all of those things are so far superior to anything a human being can offer. We still need, yes, we need relationships, we need friendships, we need to be with people. But it should be always with the mind of us giving into those things. Giving, not me taking, me sucking the life out of other people, but actually me pouring in and giving to others. So let's go to him. He says, abide in me. And then let his words, what he wants to speak at those times, let those words come and feel at home, be at home, be comfortable in you. He says, when that happens, there'll be fruit in our lives. Now, you know, God's got plans for us this year. I don't just mean corporately as a church, but he has plans. He's got plans for every person here. There might be an area in your life that you have gone round and round and round and round and round and round and round in. And every time you come up with the same ends, the same results. Maybe it's losing weight. Maybe it's your money. Maybe it's your marriage, or your not marriage. Maybe you're looking for a mate. And you just seem to keep coming up the same way by the end of the year each year. Well, you know, God's got plans. Jeremiah, isn't that what Jeremiah 29 says? Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the thoughts and plans I have for you. It isn't enough for God to know. We have to know too. Amen. We have to know the thoughts and plans of God for us. And doesn't he see there? Let's look at Jeremiah 29. Let's look at that. It's a wonderful passage of scripture. Excuse me. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. This is, I think it might be the New King James. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. It's interesting because that word thoughts is also translated in other versions of this passage. It's translated purposes and plans. So God says, I know the plans I have for you. So in other words, God has different plans for your finances this year. God has different plans for your health this year. God has a different plan for your marriage this year, for your relationships this year, for your, maybe for your job, for how you function on your job. He has plans. And it says those plans, it says he has thoughts of peace and not of evil. They're plans for peace. They're plans for hope. And they're plans for a good future. So if you've lost hope for your finances, God has something he wants to say to you. If you'll abide in him and connect with him, there's in God words that God wants to have abide in you about your money, your finances, your health. But if you never do that, if you go to Facebook or, I know it sounds like I hate Facebook. I don't hate Facebook. I just think it's diverted a lot of people's attention. It's diverted a lot of people's allegiance. Our allegiance should be to him first, and he's where we need our stuff. That's where we need to go to get our stuff. Listen to some of these other translations. The English Standard Translation says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. The Amplified says, I know the thoughts and plans I have for you, thoughts and plans for welfare and peace and not for evil, to give you hope in your final outcome. The Message says, I know what I'm doing. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not abandon you. Plans to give you the future you hope for. And the New Living says, there are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you future and a hope. Doesn't that sound great? Wow. But, you know, it's not enough for God to know those plans. Now, God knows those plans. Sometimes we think, well, God, what are we going to do? We go to God like he doesn't know what's going on in our lives. Oh, God, what's going on? You know, God, did you know this is happening in my life? Well, of course he does. But he says, I have plans for you. I have plans. I have plans for that area of your life this year. I have plans that I want to download to you. So it's not enough for God to know. He can have the most wonderful plans in the world, but if we never connect with him, those plans will never, ever affect us. You know, there's people that are born, live their whole lives and die and never once, never even begin to step into God's plan for their life because they never came to know him. So if we don't know those plans, if we don't know his thoughts and his plans, then they won't ever come to pass. So what's the answer? It's abiding in him. It's learning to connect with him. And connecting with him means more than Wednesday night and Sunday morning. It means ongoing living in that place. I know there's an old book by an old saint from years ago called Practicing His Presence by Brother Lawrence. And he just made it his life's quest to just live in the presence of God all day long. Just take God with him everywhere he went and have God involved in everything he did. You know, it takes practice to do that. It's not something that comes easily for us. So we need to know, first of all, who he is. And, you know, the more we know who he is, the more we'll recognize who we are. Every revelation of him that we receive, there's a counterpart to that revelation. When you get a revelation of Jesus as healer, then the counterpart to that should be that you are the healed. See, every revelation of him includes, embedded in it, includes a revelation of ourselves. So if you see him and come to know he is our provider, we confess that all the time. He's our provider. He's the giver. He's our God. He's our source. He's a God of many resources. Then embedded in that should be a revelation of I'm the provided for. I'm the abundant one. I have all things and I lack for nothing. Those things should come together. That's what happens when we spend time with him, connecting with him. He's revealing things to us, and we begin to see ourselves in a different light. We see ourselves through his eyes. We see who we are because of who he is. We don't see ourselves as lacking anymore. We don't see ourselves as a needy person anymore. We see ourselves in him with every need met. That's what abiding does. And, you know, it's not some mysterious, difficult thing. It's just is going to God, always checking in, always going to him. And, you know, in John there, it says that what he'll do, if you're one like that, what he'll do is he'll purge you. And we think of that as a negative thing, but it isn't a negative thing. It's a positive thing, because don't you want to know if you're missing it? Don't you want to know if there's something that you're doing that's not quite right? Oh, I'm missing it in this area. You know, God can show you that. It says he'll purge us. Why? So that we can produce more fruit. So that we can become more fruit productive in our walk with him. So that we can slip more and more into those plans and purposes that he says he has for us. We're not talking about something that's difficult or painful here. We're talking about something that's very positive. That's enriching our lives. That's what God wants to do. So he knows these plans, but it's not enough for him just to know the plans and to know we have this wonderful future. We have to know them too, but we'll never know them if we're spending all of our time focusing. You know, the enemy just throws all these things in our faces, all these things that we can get distracted by. There's just, the world is so full of voices, the movies, the television shows, all the things. Again, none of those things are bad in moderation. But if we haven't spent time connecting with God, those things can be very dangerous, because we can go to those things for the things that we have need of. God wants to meet every need, and he wants to meet the deepest needs of our life. That's what abiding in him will accomplish. Remember that amplified there in John 15 says that we require him as a vital necessity. So that means God, connecting with God on an ongoing basis is like your air. It's like water. It's like food. It's like rest. You can't live without it. There's a lot of Christians living without that and wondering, what this Christian life is not what I expected. People told me it was going to be so good that God had blessed me. But are they their relationship with God, that kind of relationship where they see him as a vital necessity, that I cannot live without him. I can't live without hearing from God. Without me, you can do nothing. You see how those two things work together? So we have to know the thoughts. We have to know the plans, or they'll never, never come to pass. And we want them to come to pass, because all of us want to stand before him and hear, well done. We want to hear that we did what he had for us to do in whatever station in life we were called to do, that we fulfilled what we were called to do. And there's no excuse for us not to, because we have got, God is so eager to share with us. He's so eager to download his information and his wisdom. And his wisdom so far supersedes what our friends can tell us or what any human being can tell us. His wisdom is so much greater, so much higher. So we should always go to him first. You know, there's nothing wrong with going to your friends afterwards and say, this is what God's been telling me. But we should be going to them for advice. We should be going to him for advice. Amen? He should be our first source of advice. And then go to your friends afterwards and say, man, this is what God's been showing me. And then rejoice with them over what God's showing you. And let them say, yeah, that bears witness with me. But so often we'll go to everybody else and want them to tell us how it is, or pat us and tell us how it's going to be okay. Listen, I'd rather have God tell me any day. One thing I've noticed in myself, when I'm feeling any emotional thing, like if I'm feeling lonely or if I'm feeling frustrated or any of those human emotions that aren't positive things, I can trace it back to a lack of spending time with Him. You know, the natural side of us is, well, I got to go connect with people. I got to go get with people. I got to go be, do something to satisfy this desire that I'm having, this longing that I'm sensing. No. Usually, for me, when I'm sensing those things, it's because I'm not connecting with God in that deep, meaningful way that I should be. And so if you just go spend time with God, and it's amazing how it just fills that up. It just fills that up and it takes that away. So He's got these wonderful plans for us. Now, Brother Dennis shared a great message back a couple Sundays ago, a month ago when we were gone, about, and he was talking about 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in there. And I loved how the things he had to say about that. And the thing is that these plans exist, but our eyes haven't seen them. And our ears haven't heard about them. But you know what? That doesn't mean that they'll never see them and hear them, because it tells us in that passage that God has given us His Spirit so that we can see them and we can hear them. That's what the Holy Ghost is in us for. So we can see these plans in this bright future. And we can hear from God about the plans He's got for our lives. And the bright, if you sense in yourself that you just don't know where you're going, you just feel like, where am I headed, God? What's the point? He's got a point. He wants to make some points. Amen. So he wants to show us those things. He wants to speak those things to us. And if we don't connect it, with Him, we could miss it. We could miss it. So these things are so important. They're so important to us. Another passage that I love. This is one of the passages for years and years and years that as a young Christian, especially, that I always used to just kind of camp in. And again, camping brings up a kind of an interesting thought too. Abiding isn't just camping, because camping's temporary. You know, the children of Israel camped and they'd pick up and they'd God would uproot them and move them again. But it was those were temporary dwelling places. So we're not talking about that kind of camping. Sometimes that's unfortunate, but that's what our relationship with God is just like camping. We just go and we have a nice little weekend with Him and then we go home and life is just the same old, you know. We're not talking about camping. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, He says, come to me. Isn't that interesting? It says, come to me. So when you're troubled about something, when something's bothering you, when you get an alarming thing about your finances, or you lose your job, or a relationship is on the rocks, or some strange symptoms are popping up in your body, what does it say? Go post it. No, He says, come to me. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and lowly of heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. What's He saying? He's saying, connect. Come and connect with me. Come when you're having a tough time, when you're going through it, connect with me. That's what He's saying here. Connect with me. And He says, take my yoke upon you. That's talking about His thoughts about things. His outlook upon things, His wisdom about that situation, His understanding, His thoughts. Remember, doesn't it say in Isaiah 55, my thoughts are way above your thoughts? Way above. My thoughts are way, way, way above your thoughts. We don't have thoughts that are high enough about the things we're going through. Our friends don't have thoughts. I've seen counsel people have given others on Facebook that the Christians, that reeked. It was horrible counsel. It's like, what? You what? This is a Christian giving this counsel. Listen in Isaiah 55. Let's look at that for a minute. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. He says, come to me. Talk to me. Talk to me. You know, communication is two-sided. if you're in a conversation with somebody and it isn't two-sided, then someone's just giving a speech or a sermon. Conversation should be two-sided. So when we go to God, we talk to him, but oftentimes we'll leave before we ever even give him a chance to talk back to us or to say anything to us. Isaiah 55:8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts." What God thinks about your finances and your health and your marriage and your job and all those things is so much higher than what you're thinking and what you might be saying. And you'll never change what your thoughts will never change unless you hear God's thoughts about those things. And what happens? What's it called when our thoughts change? Well, repentance is what I'm thinking. You're true. Transformation is a result of that, but that's what repentance is. Repentance means to change your mind. So God will show us what his thoughts are about that. We can change our thoughts. Then there'll be some acts that change, and there'll be a different outcome which leads to fruit. But without going to him first and hearing his thoughts, they'll never be the final result of the fruit. But his thoughts are so much higher than our thoughts. So much higher. So these are just some things to be thinking about. These are some things that I think this year especially, you know, I've been reading this book by John Hagee called The Four Blood Moons, a real interesting book. And he talks so much in there about Jesus coming back for those who are looking for him. You know, there's a lot of Christians that are not looking for him to come back. It's just not even on their radar. You know, it's kind of like being at the bus stop and watching for the bus. Is it coming? You see it? When I work, the 2 days that I work, every morning, I'm driving down St. Paul Avenue, and right on the corner, there's one lady who's always waiting for the bus there. I feel like I know her now. She's always there waiting for the bus. She's not waiting for me. She's waiting for the bus, but it's the same lady every morning. And I just think, you know, she knows that bus is coming, and so she's watching for it. Are we watching for him? Are we? You know, we haven't heard much about this stuff lately, but I think it's time for us to start thinking again about it. In Titus chapter 2, this just came to me. Titus chapter 2 tells us something that will happen in your life when you start watching for the Lord. Now, I know we're supposed to quit. I'll quit here in just a minute. But Titus chapter 2, we always start in verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present hour," or in this present world. Now listen to why. "Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ." We should be looking. Are you looking? See, that's why I think it's so important for us to be connecting with God above anything else this year. Because we should be so tuned in and looking so we don't miss something. We don't miss something. Or when things happen, you know, if something happens on the world arena politically, it won't scare us because he'll say, "Fear not." He'll be able to speak words to us, "Fear not. Don't be afraid." He'll be able to comfort us. You know, we sit down with other people that are passionate about politics, and all we do is we just get ourselves all stirred up. But, you know, you go to him, and what does he say? "I'll give you rest." So we'll get answers, and we'll get rest from him. But we should be looking. So if we're not connecting with him, if we're not abiding with him on a regular, ongoing basis, we're not going to be looking for him either. We should be looking for him. We should always be looking. Is it today, Lord? Is it today? If not today, is it tomorrow? You know, that should bring such joy to us. If our lives are tethered to this world and all the great stuff we think this life has to offer, something's wrong. You know, we're not going to stop living and go park on clouds somewhere. Our life is going to go on, and it's going to be a life like nothing we've ever known. But are we looking? Are we looking for his glorious appearing? Are we watching for that? We should be. But abiding precedes that. We should be honing in on our connecting with him on a daily basis. Focus on connecting with him more. Yeah. On him more. Him first. I'm not saying don't connect with your friends. I'm saying connect with him first. And it's amazing how much less we'll have to bring to the table with our friends because we've connected with God and he's already given us our answers, our comfort, our affirmation, our encouragement, all those things that we're looking for. Because we're humans, we need those things. Amen? Well, I'll cut it off there. We'll see where we pick up with this again, but just a challenge. Amen?